The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live this evening right now, email her, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Down the Garden Path. Thank you for joining us this evening as we continue to bring to you down-to-earth practical advice for your garden, plants, and all things landscaping. And I'm excited about our topic tonight. Since nobody's out working in the gardens right now at this time of year, we can all plan ahead and think ahead for spring. So,
Even though it was a beautiful day the last couple of days,
It was, for sure. But yeah. Still, nice walks and things, but no, nobody working out in their gardens.
I'm dying to get out there. I am.
Well, you have a little bit longer to wait, yeah. I think so. I know I went for a walk yesterday afternoon, too. I was just dying to get out. So it was quite nice. And tonight we are talking about soil. I'm very excited to have Christina Da Silva as my guest tonight. And she is host of a weekly Twitter chat called #GroundChat. And I'm really looking forward to discussing soil. I mean, I think that's a really important topic.
PH.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about different things.
So I'm trying to impress Christina already.
And so Christina and I'm excited to have a guest that I've met in person. So her and I met while we were both attending the Garden Bloggers Fling here in Toronto last June. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm happy that she's able to join us. Christina advocates the importance of soil in gardening and landscaping. She has a couple of degrees from the University of Guelph. Her BSc in horticulture and her master's focused on soil and plant nutrition. Christina ran a landscape maintenance company in Vancouver, BC for several years before she made the transition to garden writing. Back injuries tend to do that, and I can totally relate. Same with working in nurseries for years.
Yeah.
So she promotes gardeners' awareness of soil through her blog, The Real Gardener, and, as I mentioned, her Twitter chat, Ground Chat, a weekly tweet chat on Fridays, every Friday at 2 p.m. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on, Joanne. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And I can totally relate to the back injury part. Who knew working at a nursery, bending over benches, color blocking in patients for years and years would do me in.
Oh, yeah. The bending has been a clue, but...
Yes, for sure. Because they weren't really heavy, but it's just that bending.
Continuously.
Yeah,
bending,
so now when customers ask me when I'm doing landscape design, and they ask if I do, you know, the other stuff, and I say, no, I don't do any of the heavy lifting, I guess. I get to just point and kind of do that
and
type of thing.
Not because I'm a diva.
That's right. That's right. I wish I could do it. I so wish I could do it. I think I'd be a better designer if I knew construction, like if I could really do it. So, but you play the cards you're dealt with, right?
And exactly.
And reinvent yourself. And I think you've done a wonderful job. So I want to find out more about this passion. It seems like even from your education, soil is a passion for you. Can you tell us how that got started?
Well, it's like all passions, it tends to start really early, and you don't even realize, I certainly didn't even realize it, but it seems to be an underlying thread that's gone throughout my life. When I was when I was very young, this is preteen, I started gardening, and I remember starting to garden. I was given this plot that didn't grow very much, but I thought, oh, I'll try beans. Little did I know that beans can grow on sandy soil, and it was sandy, so I was just so thrilled. Everything grew on it because it was beans. And then I was given another plot, but this was under a tree, and the soil wasn't so good. It was full of roots. And then that made me aware that not all soil was the same at a very young age. And then I went on to do a horticulture. And you know, one of the courses you have to do is soil, right?
Okay, yeah.
And it was the oddest things. I kept getting close to 100% every time I did the exam. So I thought, there's something here.
Yeah.
And it went on from there. So the master's was on soil and plant nutrition, and then you move away from it, but I always seem to come back to it, and I realize that a lot of people don't think about soil when they're planting. And that's how the whole thing of Ground Chat started, because I wanted to give back to the community. And I thought, well, what do people not think about or talk about that needs to be talked about? And I thought, well, soil.
Yeah.
It just popped into my head. I mean, I didn't go through a lot of choices. Soil was what came up. And now when you've asked me the question, it made me think, why did soil pop into my head? Well, because it's always been sort of an underlying theme, so to speak.
Wow. And it's true that sometimes it's often very overlooked. And why do you think I guess it's a loaded question to ask you. Why do you think soil is so important in our gardens? In some ways, that's an easy, you know, it's an obvious answer, but I think it's not obvious for gardeners.
Yeah, because people sometimes say, but we can grow things in hydroponics, right? Why do we need soil? I mean, maybe the future of farming is in greenhouses and with lights and things like that. You can grow quite a few things with water and nutrients. It's not going to be organic production, but you can grow it there. But you can't grow things like root crops. I don't think you can grow corn with that either. So there's only certain amount of things you can grow if you're looking soil from a what can you grow for eating point of view, because soil provides almost everything a plant needs. It has all the nutrients, it has the water, it all comes through the soil. From the air, it gets the carbon dioxide, and but the rest comes, and of course the sunshine. You can't forget the photosynthesis. It wouldn't happen without the sun.
That's right. And trees, it's not just plants and vegetables, right? Trees,
yeah, no, it's
you
everything.
Know. Yeah,
and
we
it's
couldn't
a foundation.
Grow.
Really, it's a foundation. Without soil, a lot of those trees wouldn't be standing up.
Yep, that's true.
I mean, that's a great thing.
I
can't see trees sort of growing in hydroponics very well.
No. And I think that's a great word to say. It's the soil is a foundation. And, you know, and I think that's literally, you know, not just, I think that's a great way to put it.
I've heard it been said it's the cornerstone of the ecological processes on Earth.
Wow.
And everything sort of radiates out from that, but it's the cornerstone. I like foundation.
Yeah, I do too. I'm writing both of those down, but I like that foundation too. It's important. Now, you're saying that many people don't think about their soil, and I think that's true. But if they do think about their soil, I think they only think about it at one time of the year, and that is spring.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they get the key. And that's a memory for me, even in my childhood of now when you get you get manure for the gardens, it's composted. So there's no odor. But I can distinctly remember, you know, growing up and all the neighbors putting compost or manure on their gardens because the whole neighborhood smelled like manure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I think it's kind of come a long way. So when you think of spring, what advice do you have to our listeners of things that they should consider, really consider, for their soil and their gardens?
The manure is still a good is a good one, mm-hmm. because I mean, we got away from it for a while when we started using slow release fertilizers and things like that, and we forgot we were just feeding the nutrients, the nitrogen, the phosphorus, but we weren't feeding the soil.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what we need to be doing, feeding the soil, and that's adding organic matter onto the soil. So spring's a good time because we remember to do it then, right?
Right.
So things like mulch, mm-hmm. Put it on areas that are bare. Don't leave anything bare. That's what I'd say.
Oh, okay.
Don't leave anything bare. Either have a living mulch on it, or have a wood chip mulch, or put in compost, or put in manure. And of course, you can overdo these things.
Mm-hmm.
So don't overdo them, because just a little bit is good, but
right.
too much can lead into other problems.
Mm-hmm.
So don't add any more than 2 inches of any of it. Inches is the max.
Okay, 2 inches plenty. Okay.
That. Yeah.
All right. And is that something you think someone needs to do every year?
Yeah, I would say every year.
Okay.
I would say every year. It depends on how much you've added. Like if you've added a 4-inch mulch, you probably don't, because in our climate, it breaks down slowly. Now, if you live down in the southern states,
mm-hmm.
it goes through the mulch so quickly that you would probably have to add it twice a year.
Really?
But in our climate, no.
No.
But somewhere warmer, yeah, you would need to do that.
So the heat just composts it faster, like it breaks down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's everything is chemistry and biology when it comes to soil. It's pretty sexy when you come to think of it.
I think it's fascinating, too, how it's no two areas are alike, right? You know,
yes.
Depending on where your growing season is, that's I always say one of the things about the gardening addiction, you know, it's things are always changing. And so that's fascinating to know that. I can't imagine having to put mulch on my garden more than once a season, though. My goodness. But I guess I trade that for those southern temperatures.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing is that I don't have that problem. But if you... 4 inches of mulch, for example, will minimize water loss from your soil, so you don't have to water it so often.
Mm.
But I had someone tell me that they live in North Carolina.
Okay.
They had problems with moles and voles.
Ah.
They were coming through the mulch. And
okay.
It was providing a nice little habitat for them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had 2 inches, you still get most of the benefits.
Right.
Don't go as deep if you have a mole or vole problem.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know, because I have had some customers here have that type of problem. And that's good to know that, you know, if they have those excessive areas, you know, some people do that mulch volcano around their trees.
Oh, please.
I know.
No,
I know.
No. Not volcano mulches.
I know, but that's one of the reasons, right? I mean, not only
yeah.
the health of the tree, but it also is, well, that's a whole show topic there all at once,
exactly.
Right?
And
so
yeah.
those mulch
yeah.
volcanoes that we see and we try to discourage customers from, clients from doing. So, but if you do have, you know, that type of issue, then that's something to check out in your yard or in your neighbor's yard as where
yeah.
it could be a nice little habitat. So now I know I often, one of the things I know everybody, even Gary was saying, he's dying to get out in the garden. And I think everybody, when it starts to warm up, everybody is so keen to get out that they get out and start working in it a little too soon. And they start stomping
yeah.
on and kind of compressing the soil. And that's one of the things I try to you know, I'm not a soil expert at all, but I just have learned over the years to encourage my clients not to do that, to really
You're
wait.
So right.
Yes.
So right. Especially with clay soil.
Mm.
And most people do have clay soil.
Yes.
It just compresses it and compacts it.
And then, you know, then those spring rains just run right off, right? It's not absorbed
yeah.
into the
You're
green.
You're destroying your soil.
Absolutely.
Because you're just a little impatient.
Yeah.
I can understand the impatience.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But this winter has not been that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, we're very lucky.
Last winter, I was dying to get out.
Yeah,
because it was so long,
mm-hmm.
it just kept going on and on. But this winter has been—is has it really been winter?
Yeah, it's, you know, we've had our little spurts and stuff. I was sad to see that snow melt on Friday night and to Saturday morning. I mean, it looks so pretty, and, you know, now there's a litter all over the place. I don't know. There's something.
I know. I hate that. The snow makes everything so beautiful.
That's right. It does. So in addition to not walking on your property and your gardens too soon, is there anything else in the spring that people should not do?
I've got a truckload of things.
Oh, okay.
One of the things is, and this has been a really popular one for gardeners, fluffing up the soil.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just going around and giving it a little till, you know, just fluffing it up on the side, making it look pretty. You know, you just go through with your little cultivator and just scratch the soil, because we think we're actually improving the aeration, improving but in fact, you're not. What you're doing is destroying microorganisms, which then leads to destruction of soil structure.
Okay.
So try not to do that tilling thing, that little fluffing up. Don't fluff. Don't fluff.
And that's regardless of whether that's a vegetable garden or a flower garden, no fluffing.
No fluffing.
Okay.
No fluffing.
No tilling.
I mean, sometimes you have to, because... Mm-hmm. But if you're going to be putting in seed, you want to prepare just maybe the line where you want to do it, mm-hmm. and you want to open it up so that the seeds go in there. Do that. Or if you're going to plant something, you know, dig the soil, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But going through and just preparing the whole thing like that, it's really very destructive.
Okay, very counterproductive then.
Very counterproductive. Oh, and the other, my favorite one that people have been giving this advice for years, but it's so wrong, is to lighten clay soil by adding sand.
Oh yes,
you would need to add 50% sand to your soil, like 50-50, to be able to change the texture. Soil texture does not change easily, if at all. So the best thing to do is improve the soil that you have by adding organic matter, but not by adding sand.
Okay.
Sand will just turn it into concrete.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then you don't have to worry about gardening. It's a parking lot.
Then nothing will grow, right?
Yeah, you can put your containers on.
Yeah.
You can drive on them.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, that gives us lots to think about. So those are two. So no, and those are things people do so much, and it's kind of like been passed down to generations. Try to not till, and mm-hmm. no adding sand to change the format or change the texture of our soil.
Sand to clay.
Right.
It's to clay.
To clay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you have a few more for us? Or did you want to take, we can take a commercial break?
We can take a commercial break. You're in charge.
Yes, let's take
a
little. Okay, let's take a little pause and everybody can digest Christina's advice there on our soil habits for this coming spring. You're listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. We will be right back.
I'm not afraid of nothing, because heart and soul I'm built for life. So let the engines roar.
Chris Lee West Indian Market has been serving the West Indian community for over 15 years. Visit their new location at 20 Harwood Avenue South, Unit 7 at Harwood and Kingston Road in Ajax. They have a wide variety of Oriental, East, and West Indian groceries, fresh fish, meat, and vegetables. Load up your cart with goodies from the island at very reasonable prices. They have weekly specials such as non-alcoholic wine at 2 bottles for $5. Visit Chris Lee West Indian Groceries at 20 Harwood Avenue South, Unit 7 at Harwood Avenue and Kingston Road in Ajax, or call them right now, 905-426-2111. That's 905-426-2111.
When you visit Peacock Lumber, you will step back in time to a place where purchasing wood products was simple, efficient, and pleasant. In our office, you can view our large selection of moldings,
and receive advice from knowledgeable sales staff. Once you have decided on your order, you can pick up your materials in our drive-thru yard or utilize our delivery service. For pickups, take your vehicle out to our traditional lumber yard, where someone is always there to assist you. If you are accustomed to purchasing wood products at a box store, you will be impressed by the variety, selection, and quality of products that we offer, and the ease in which you get your vehicle loaded and get you on your way. Peacock Lumber is conveniently located on 8 acres in central Oshawa. It was started in 1939 by Victor Peacock and remains family-owned and operated. If you need quality wood products for your renovation, please call us at 905-725-4744. That's 905-725-4744. Or for a full list of products and prices, go to www.peacocklumber.ca. Come to Peacock Lumber first to get the price, selection, quality, and service that you expect. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live by email, email her right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, broadcasting live from Studio 1A of the Beaver Valley Media Group, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome everyone back to Down the Garden Path. Thank you for listening this evening. And joining us once again is my guest, Christina De Silva, and we are talking soil. So, Christina, but just before break, we were talking about some, you said you had several things for us not to do. So this, let me reiterate, these are our not to do in the spring list, correct?
Right.
So you recommend we not do that tilling and fluffing of the soil that everybody likes to do, and that the way to improve clay soil is with organic matter and not adding sand. Do you have any other suggestions?
Well, I think we covered the one of going out too early, mm-hmm. and you mentioned that one, mm-hmm. and then compressing the soil. That really damages things. And if there is somewhere in your garden that everyone tends to walk over and over and over, mm-hmm. it's better just to convert that to a path than leaving it as is. And along paths in vegetable beds and stuff, put down a mulch, mm-hmm. or put down, or if you're working on the bed itself, put down a board so that you can spread your weight, mm-hmm. so it's not all compressed on your shoe, but you've spread it out.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that will
idea.
That yeah. will really help with the soil as well.
Yeah, or even if it is kind of a traffic area, or let's say a connector between two gardens, maybe some stepping stones, you know, that yeah. you can still kind of plant around a little bit, but at least you're stepping on those, right, as
exactly.
opposed to stepping in the garden.
Yeah, and as you know, as a designer, I know you've seen it all the time, you want it to look this way, but mm-hmm. people will always use their shortest mean across between two points, don't they?
They do. They do, especially children, right?
Especially children and dogs.
Dogs, yes. So yes. Now, so that's if some the that topic so far is for people with an established garden. Do mm-hmm. you have any things that you'd like to any starter tips that you'd like to recommend to our listeners for anybody that's new to gardening or starting, let's say, a brand new garden?
Well, the first is to see how your how your soil functions, what it grows.
Oh, okay.
Just like anything else, before you design, and it's also it brings in the soil because you have to see what grows in it and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Even if your garden per se doesn't have much, take a look at your neighbor's gardens and see what they grow. It's more likely than not it'll grow in yours, your soil.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, you know, it's be snoopy. This is license to be snoopy.
That is an important thing, and I use that a lot in landscape design. You know, a lot of people say, oh, can't I just send you photos and you can just tell me, you know, what to plant over the phone and stuff. And I always say, you know, you don't want to say that you're looking at what their neighbors are doing, but you're kind of looking at the environment. You're looking at the whole big picture, you know. It's not just that they might send you a photo of that little area, but, you know, that's you can't design that way. You know, you have to look at it as a big whole, like, you know, in a whole piece.
So, exactly.
And I would think that would be the case with soil as well. Is mm-hmm. If there's, let's say you're just removing sod, or let's say it's a new build, because I know that's a challenge when the builders leave after they've built a new house, that soil is not great.
It's not soil.
No, it's not.
It's usually subsoil.
Yeah.
And the best thing you can do in the first couple of years is start building your soil.
Okay.
You know, by putting in organic matter, by putting in compost. Get compost any way you can from the leaves. Go through to your neighbors if your neighbors have any trees, or go to another neighborhood and beg, borrow, steal. Mm-hmm. No, don't steal.
Well, if people put them out at the curb, right, in those paper bags,
just take it.
Yes,
just take it, because that is some of the best compost is leaf mold compost.
Oh, okay,
spread it on your soil. Don't go straight out and start planting, because mm-hmm. that soil is going to be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
At least spend you can put something that will stop it from eroding from it.
Right.
You want some sort of ground cover.
Mm-hmm.
But don't put your permanent thing yet. Just mm-hmm. build it up a little bit, and then you can start putting it in. But I know people just want to put things in straight away.
They do, yes.
It's really hard to just look at this bare, barren backyard. And if it's really that bad, maybe initially put in some raised beds with that will allow you to grow something.
Okay.
Bring in and I usually don't want to say bring in soil, because I say work with the soil that you have.
Oh,
but
okay.
The subsoil is hardly soil.
Right.
It's really. But you can start building soil by putting in compost, by using leaf mulch, by chip mulch.
Okay.
Go to your local coffee places. Starbucks always allows you to use their compost. Take their coffee grounds.
Oh, okay.
Use those.
Okay.
Just use everything.
Everything. Now, is it okay if, you know, if people, let's say, are a little bit more impatient to purchase to get a load from somewhere of, you know, is it a triple mix? Or do we want to get a load of already composted compost?
I think it would be better, because what you tend to do, if you got a subsoil like that,
mm-hmm.
and then you add a triple mix, and I know it's a standard in landscape industry to do this, but what you end up having is a perched, because there's such a difference between the lower subsoil and the top sub, the textures are so different.
Oh,
what
right.
you end up having is the water just starting to collect between the two the two layers.
Okay.
And if you are going to add something on top, and you can do that, because my goodness, it's so horrible to look at that. Make sure that you you have a mixture between the two layers, at least 2 to 4 inches.
Okay.
Just mix the two.
Okay.
So you just don't plop it on top.
Right.
Make sure that you mix it for at least 2 to 3 inches, so that it allows a gradual change of one texture to another texture, and then you won't get that buildup of water, and your soil above it won't be waterlogged. And you know, waterlogged is another thing that can cause your plants to die. you bought all this wonderful soil and it's dying because your soil is wet all the time.
Right. Because then, well, just like with houseplants, right, that tends to be, you know, we tend to be too keen sometimes and too attentive to our new gardens, especially, and overwatering, especially if the temperatures, you know, if it's a cooler spring or not a hot summer.
But in this case, it's not that you're overwatering. It's the fact the water will just collect there. It will start drying on top, but it will collect at the bottom.
At the bottom. So it's almost like the subsoil. Yeah, so the subsoil is just adding almost like a barrier, really.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
But if you mix the two, then it allows it to percolate through.
All right. Now, what about removing some? Like, should you remove a couple inches? I know you said to mix the two together, but what if somebody took, I know that happens sometimes with the contractors on a job, right?
They'll take all the soil.
Yeah, they'll take out some soil and then bring back the new soil for the gardens.
Sustainably, if you look at that, it's not a very sustainable thing.
Okay.
And I know there's a municipal laws around that discourage removal of topsoil from places. And they're trying to encourage people to use the topsoil and not remove it off the property, and you get to use them again.
Okay.
And in some places, they don't allow you to bring in, to cut off the soil and bring in soil.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to.
Okay. Well, that's good
and
to
so
know.
You have to work with what you have. Mm-hmm. And you really, a lot of times it's just clay soil and you can change it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can make it something that you can work with. Mm-hmm. And in some places, I mean, in Toronto, the south part, it's sandy there. Mm-hmm. And people complain about it being very sandy. But again, the same thing applies to clay as it does to sand. Add more organic matter.
Right.
Start adding compost and everything else and you'll find that it will start retaining nutrients. It won't drain as fast. You won't lose water so easily.
Okay.
So in both cases, add organic matter. It will improve your soil.
Yeah. And that's a cost-effective way to look at it too, because as much as, you know, I say the contractor's like, you know, digging it up and taking it away, you know, that's labor. So the clients are paying for the labor of that as well as the disposal of that. So, you know, it can be seen as a little bit more work initially to you know, make it work, but yet, you know, it is a cost savings.
It's cost saving. And if you really look at your plant list, there's plants that go with practically every soil.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Except maybe the super alkaline saline soil. But even then, you have a few.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And it's all about, I'm sure you heard the low maintenance gardeners, right? Everybody wanting something that's low maintenance. And I always say, you know, it really low maintenance is the right plant in the right spot.
Exactly. That's very smart.
You know, because if we have to kind of, you know, fertilize and baby and encourage, you know, then that's the maintenance, right? Trying to get something to grow where it's not happy or where it's not in a good spot or in your case, in a good soil, right? It's adding things to the soil.
Yeah. I mean, that's the environment, right? That's the environment. I mean, that's where the that's where the plant is going to grow.
Yeah. Wow. Now, we talked a bit about the spring, you know, what people should do.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the year throughout, and I think more about my, you know, my front gardens, let's say, as opposed to the vegetable gardens. We'll get to the vegetable gardens in a second. But if I look at my, you know, everybody's concerned about how their front yard looks. Is there, you know, in addition to adding, you know, the soil, improving the soil with compost and leaf mold in the spring and topping it up with mulch, is there something else throughout the year we should be doing? Or do you think if we started off in the spring that should sustain itself for the season?
Well, I think that the adding the compost or the mulch will help a lot. But if you want to get it to the next level, because there's always a next level for everything, isn't it?
There is, yes.
Yeah.
We're never done. We're never happy, right?
No. If you want to take it to the next level, what you'll be thinking about is make sure that the plants that you've picked for your front garden, that you're not picking annuals, because what you want is living roots in the soil as long as possible. Because what you're trying to do is these plants feed the soil microbes, right?
Okay.
Because they do all their photosynthesis, and there's a little marketplace going down on underground around the roots. when they're living.
Okay.
So when they're photosynthesizing, they tend to bring down 30 to 40% of all the stuff they make up in the leaves goes down into the roots and feeds the microbes, you know, that much.
Really?
And so all of those microbes and everything else help the soil structure. It helps, you know, if you've got the organic matter, they're involved in the decomposition of it. And also when they die, they release the nutrients in a form that plants can take up really easily.
Okay.
So you cannot have a good soil unless it's a living soil.
Okay.
So if you look at the soil and you see you don't have any worms, earthworms, that is,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Okay.
Because you need to start bringing the biology back in. And having living soil, living roots as long as possible with those shrubs and those perennials. And if you want to put annuals, put them in
containers,
in
right?
Pots,
yes.
Containers. Yeah.
Oh, I'm all over that one with you. I am not a fan of annuals, unfortunately. And especially in the garden. I agree. I mean, I didn't understand that from the soil standpoint. I just think it adds their maintenance. You know, they need water, they need fertilizer, they need so much more care,
right?
Where the rest of those shrubs and perennials and trees really don't. You know, once they get past the first year or so, they really take care of themselves. And so I agree. I think you can add some color and pops of color in containers and over your yard. But that's another great reason. So for the health of our soil, we should also not put annuals in the ground. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Now you've got another reason. No, you don't want to do that.
That's right.
And the other thing is add diversity.
Oh, what do you mean?
Yeah. Well, instead of, I know this will, for the minimalistic people, they'll hate this one. Because don't you just love a long, big border of just the same plant, like lavender
or boxwood
well, not so much boxwood, but you know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, that is actually not as good for the soil as having one or two of different plants all along, because different plants provide different diversities of microbes underneath, because each plant attracts different kinds of microbes. So you know how they say we need biodiversity above ground, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, the same applies below ground.
Okay.
And because the plants, there's a partnership going on here.
Yeah.
You cannot have the microbes without the plants. The plants without the microbes.
Okay.
They work together.
Yeah, it's a team.
They work better together.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you have a lot of different plants, a lot of shrubs and trees and
but not one of
not one of.
No one, that's where I draw the line. So don't read those people that like one of everything. That's not what we're talking about, right?
No,
Christina,
one of everything looks awful.
That's
as well.
Right, it does.
A grouping works.
There you go. Thank you.
Can you imagine? I've seen those gardens.
I know.
Well, they're collectors.
They are collectors, right? Absolutely. And there's a place for that. And if there's collectors listening, we're sorry. But really, I mean, you can still collect into groups and divide those and really make a high-impact area. Right, Christina?
I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you. I actually designed gardens for a while. So and I took a certificate in a landscape.
Yes, you did at Ryerson as well, right?
No. Oh. Actually, I did mine in the North Shore educational education when I was in Vancouver.
Oh, wonderful.
And they had a year full-on program just on residential landscape design.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, they don't do it anymore, but it was really super.
Yeah.
So I understand design, but I decided to leave that for people who like design all the time.
Oh, okay.
Not me. It's not me.
So when we're talking about the microbes in the soil, is there a place for testing the soil? Do you think that, like, you know, the average homeowner or let's say the designer, is that an important step, do you think? Or
I think it is. So
yeah?
You know what you're working with. So you can pick the right plants for your for your garden.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if there's something not quite that's missing in it, you'll know what to add. But there's certain things that you can do that will allow you to see the condition of your soil. What do you need to do to your soil? And you can do that without sending it to a lab.
Oh, okay.
For example, you can do the little squeeze test.
Okay.
You know? So if you you take some soil and then a little bit moist but not wet, and you give it a firm squeeze, if it holds its shape, but when you give it a light poke, it crumbles, then you have loam soil.
Okay.
Now, if you squeeze it, and when you poke it, it still sticks, it just sits there, then you know you have clay.
Clay.
So you know you have a little bit more work with that one.
Okay.
And then if you take another kind of soil, and when you try to make it into a shape, and it won't, it just keeps falling apart, then you know you have more of the sandy stuff.
Yeah.
So these are just broad strokes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And to see if you have a drainage problem, you just dig a hole about 6 inches wide and a foot deep. You fill it with water, let it drain, then fill it up with water again, and see how long it takes to drain the second time.
Okay.
If the water takes more than 4 hours to drain, you have poor drainage.
Wow. And that's great. That's easy for someone in a new home, let's say, right?
Yeah,
in a new yard, for them to just take a look and really know what they're working with.
Yeah, and if you want to see if it's biologically active, make sure that the soil, you take your thermometer, and I'm naughty.
No.
I take my oven thermometer.
Okay.
I just use that as a, you know, just put it there because it works just as well.
Okay.
And then you test the soil temperature, and if it's above 10 degrees Celsius, just dig up an area. Sort of 1 foot and 1 foot deep, one foot across, 1 foot deep. So that would be, how much is that in metric? 12 inches is 30 centimeters by 30 centimeters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had to think of my ruler. And then dig up the soil and then sift through the soil to see how many worms are there.
Okay.
If you find at least 10 worms,
wow,
you're in good shape.
Really?
Ooh, yeah.
I don't have that many worms, I don't think, in my garden.
If you don't, then keep adding organic matter.
Okay.
So obviously you need more organic
matter. Yeah, yeah. I did a really good mulch, probably too thick, a couple of years ago. So then I didn't do any last year. So I think, and then I'm always struggle with, we'll talk about me for a minute. You know, once you do the mulch on top of the compost and the organic matter, then you don't, like the next year, if the mulch hasn't, how do you add the compost and, you know, manure again on top of that mulch, right?
Yeah.
So
it's underneath. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So
you take it all off and then you put it down and then you add it back on and it's like, so much work.
Yeah.
My back.
Yeah. So I definitely know I need to add more this year. Definitely more organic material.
And another thing that people forget is that when you start adding organic matter, it won't happen over a year. It takes up to, you start to see results 3 to 5 years.
Really?
The three-year mark, you start to see results, and at 5 years, you really see the difference.
Yep.
And of course, people tend to give up after
the
first two, but you know, you really have to stay the course.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, patience is a challenge, especially for new gardeners. I know even after, you know, you've done design, you install a new garden and a couple months later, everybody wants to see it filled in, you know, and it takes some time. I know I have always these pictures in my books that I take with me to clients and I show them, you know, this is what other past gardens look like right after planting. And this is what they look like a year later. And this is what they look like 3 years later, you know, to try and give them perspective on patience.
Yeah.
But you know, it's still everybody, we're the instant gratification, right? Everybody wants it looking good. They want to sprinkle. So that's where that market is, right? To everybody to shake out those seeds. And
it's not furniture, people.
No,
it's not furniture.
That's a good point for sure. For sure. I did want to spend, time is flying for us here, but I did want to spend a bit of time to talk about vegetables. And again, I'll talk about me in the sense that, and a lot of my clients are doing this as well. The kind of a new trend is growing vegetables in containers. And I find that a little challenging because I know instinctively that the soil for these vegetables needs to be good soil, but yet everything for containers is quote unquote potting soil. So What does one do?
What does one do? That is the age of the millennium, I think.
Yes.
Because there is no regulations around potting mixes.
Okay.
There's no regulations around topsoil either. So anything goes. And I've tried so many different potting mixes. I wish I'd kept track of it, but some do very well and some do not. And I do not want to say, you know, because I haven't written down that I don't want to say, yeah, such and such brand, forget it.
Okay.
No.
Well, is it more of a mixture? Things. Like, is it something you think people need to kind of, you know, I've experimented myself on adding, you know, half manure and half, you know, potting soil or half compost, really, or, you know.
Well, if you have a big, one thing you need when you're doing vegetables is get a large container.
Yes.
Do not make it 8 inches across. Mm-hmm. Do not.
No, that won't work.
No,
yeah.
It has to be bigger than that.
Yes.
Otherwise, yeah. Ugh.
Yes.
And the soil mixes that tend to work, the potting mixes that tend to work, if you want to make them up, is peat moss, a third of peat moss, a third of vermiculite, a third of compost.
Okay.
And you mix it up together. And then if you're going to, you need to make sure that when you're growing things, you want to make sure it's organic and it's safe.
Right.
So that's where you hesitate about adding manure. Although,
okay.
It'd have to be well composted manure so that
yes.
you don't have to add any pathogens or any E. coli or stuff like that to your. So that's why you would put the manure and then put a straw above it so it doesn't splash up onto your vegetables.
Okay.
So if you're getting a potting mix and you want to make sure that it is organic so you're not growing your stuff in things that are contaminated, look for the sign called. OMRI, O-M-R-I. It's the Organic Materials Review Institute.
Oh, okay.
And it guarantees that that particular potting mix is organic.
Oh, that's good to know. OMRI, O-M-R-I.
Yeah, and it will be a little bit more expensive because they have to go through the certification process. But look for the stuff that says it's for organic growing. But of course, there's misleading marketing out there. That
yeah.
Potting mix, it's organic. Well, of course, most of the stuff in potting mix is organic, because you've got the chips and the compost. Those are organic material, right?
Yeah.
And they can say it's organic, but it's not the organic you want.
Right. Right. With nutrients. I mean, there's organic, and then there's you want some nutrients in there.
Yeah. And compost really doesn't have that many nutrients in it.
Okay.
What it does is it has all the microbes that will help you get the nutrients.
Okay.
So if you add if you had a cover crop and you added to it, you know, you've cut the leaves into it. If you added leaf mold, that would add to it.
Okay.
If you want to do it organic, I don't think you'd probably want to do the slow Osmocoat and stuff like that.
Right. What about the fish? So you think fertilizer wise,
the fish works very well.
Does
it's just stinky?
Yes.
Bone meal works very well.
Okay.
And then your dogs go after it. But fish works very well. Seaweed not as well, but it adds other things. It adds the micronutrients that you need. But fish seems to have almost everything.
Yeah. And I know it kind of comes in it's a liquid or in a pellet form, right?
Oh, has it come in pellets?
Oh, I always got it
in the liquid.
Maybe I thought I had a fish at home and I thought it was in a pellet form, but maybe I know I have a hen as well.
I'm not sure. I could be wrong.
I could be wrong too. I know I have a hen. You know, there's the hen fertilizer.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That is good stuff too, right?
Yeah. I really like that stuff.
And that, considering it's, you know, it's in like pellet form, so I kind of, but I never know, you know, how much to put in. I do use large containers.
Yeah.
And I would say my large containers, and there's many people that have vegetable gardens in the ground, and their area isn't that big either, right? So it's, it's kind of comparable sometimes. Not everybody has enough property to do, you know, the big, large vegetable gardens that our grandparents did.
No.
Right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So,
but mind you, would spend a lot of time outside growing stuff.
Yes.
And we'd probably not get much else done. Which is okay with me.
Yeah.
You didn't hear it here.
Yes. So as far as fertilizing, so as long as it's something like that, like hen or fish,
that keeps it organic. But
yes.
if it's something that you're not interested in, you can use the Osmocote or something, and that
okay.
will slowly feed your material right through the year. But I just always think that with the organic, somehow it's just a little bit better. But
yeah.
Maybe that's you're feeding your soil there, even if it's a soilless mixture. You're feeding,
yes.
Feeding your microbes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have something more like in the hydroponic version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is still yummy.
Yeah. Yeah. But if they're going to go through that work of containers and soil, you mean you want to do it right. So
yeah.
Thank you. That really helps me personally, and I'm sure it will help some of our listeners as well when they are considering what to put in their pots this spring. And I think that's great. The one-third, I wrote that down, one-third peat moss, one-third vermiculite, and one-third compost.
And if you don't want the peat moss because of the sustainability of peat
yes.
moss, you can add the coconut, but
oh,
then that
okay.
comes from mm-hmm. from far away, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You can add leaf mold instead.
Okay.
Or different kinds of cuttings or anything like that.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
But peat moss is one of the better things.
Okay.
I know because I've tried other things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like coconut coir. I know people rave about it and I hate it.
Yeah, yeah.
It just holds on to the water and doesn't let it go very
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah, it's always a balance of what is sustainable, what works, what is cost effective. You know, it's all kind of a fine line in between,
yeah.
you know.
And people can spend hours just debating about
right.
this, that, and the other thing. And I'm thinking, I just want something that works.
Yes. Yes. Well, we're winding down, so I definitely want to talk about your Twitter chat. So
you
started, do you just say ground chat or do you do hashtag ground chat?
It's ground chat.
Ground chat.
I used to just say ground chat, but it is hashtag ground chat. That's how you follow it on Twitter.
That's right.
And I started it back in 2012 as a way of giving back to the community, as I mentioned before. And soil was the one thing that nobody hardly touched at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, this is wide open.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised. We went from a couple thousand impressions per talk initially. And now we think that the record has been 4 million impressions.
Wow.
Well, but we regularly get about 2 million each talk and
mm-hmm.
reach about 100,000 accounts. I know it's banding a lot
yes.
of big numbers around.
Yeah,
but that's the power of social media.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that's wonderful. And remind our listeners, it's every Friday at 2 p.m. Correct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And again, it's hashtag Twitter or ground chat.
Ground chat. Yes, it is.
Excellent.
And we're having all kinds of I've met all kinds of people in the last 2 months that I want to bring in. I met a David Montgomery and Anne Bilkey, who's just written The Hidden Half of Nature.
Okay.
They're over they live over in Seattle. They want to be on
Excellent.
Ground chat. So they're coming on ground chat in April sometime. I met somebody called Alvaro Venturelli. He's from Plan B Farms in Hamilton.
Oh, wonderful.
And he'll be talking about biodynamic principles to improve soil. And I also met a really, really nice chap called Luke Kimmel, who has a company over in Calgary. He builds and designs edible forest gardens.
Really?
Yes, so he wants to go on to he's going to be on ground chat too.
Oh, excellent.
And well, I met a couple of different people at two labs when I went to the soil and the Ontario Fruit and Vegetable conference
mm-hmm.
Last weekend.
Okay.
Last week I met two people in the labs, soil labs in Ontario, and they were they agree to be on Ground Chat as well. So we're going to talk about different aspects of soil testing.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. So that is great. And it's what social media has a wonderful way. I know that's where I've met a lot of my guests as well. And it's just a great way for us to help each other out and share what we know.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
so I learned so much from my guests.
Yeah, me too.
And certainly, you know, I mean, here I am a guest on your show, but let me tell you, I've learned a lot.
Yes.
From my own guests.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Oh, it really is. I take note every week. I take so many notes and I learn a lot. And that's my goal for the show is always to promote to the listeners. I'm a practical gardener myself. I'm a practical landscape designer and I really down to earth, practical. Mm-hmm. advice. And I think starting with the earth, starting with soil is really important. So I'm so glad that you're able to join us tonight. Is there something else aside from Ground Chat on Fridays at 2? Is there anything else you'd like to promote with us tonight as we wrap up the show?
Well, that's what I was trying to promote was all those different people coming
Excellent.
On. And oh, there's I discovered something else. And maybe if you like organic stuff, it's I met Dr. Andrew Hammermeister at the organic conference in Guelph, and he's the director of the Organic Agriculture Center of Canada over in Nova Scotia. So I'm going to see if I can get him onto the show.
Wonderful.
As well, because they've got a truckload of organic growing resources on their website.
Yeah.
So yeah,
the more we can share, the more we will all learn. For
exactly.
sure. For
exactly.
sure. And our listeners can find you on your blog called The Real Gardener.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you also have listings of past tweet chats, correct?
Exactly.
Excellent.
Exactly. It's been a little cranky lately, but it's there. And I've been late putting them on, so my big apologies.
Oh, that's all right. That's right. You know, it's a lot of work, right? The
yes,
prep and the maintenance of it all. So the social media is a good thing, but it has made our lives a little challenging as well.
And if you want to be doing other things, mm-hmm. oh my. Yeah, it just sucks up the time.
It does. It does. Well, thank you. I really enjoyed tonight, Christina, and I thank you very much for
thank
joining
you.
Us and coming on the show. And we will talk really soon.
Well, thank you very much, Joanne. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Gary, for being such a
thank
a
you
good...
for that beautiful accent.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, my husband, when I first started dating him, that's what he used to call me, just to listen to my voice.
Oh, that's lovely.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Oh, well, thank you again. And
thank you, Joanne.
All right. And we'll talk soon.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, everyone. I hope you learned. I know I learned a ton tonight. I'm really looking forward to continuing to share that information as we get ready to start gardening this spring. So I wanted to thank everybody once again for joining us down the garden path here on down the garden path here on Reality Radio 101. That's where we are, right, Gary? Reality Radio.
Yeah, that's the show.
That's the show.
Right.
So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon and see you back next week.
You have been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.